CBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Trump administration says mass deportation operations will continue, including for farm workers at U.S. businesses. President Trump earlier signaled he may provide an exemption for farm workers. Today, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins at a farmland security briefing says no one has amnesty. When asked who will replace those critical jobs.
Ultimately, the answer on this is automation, also some reform within the current governing structure. And then also, when you think about, there are 34 million able-bodied adults in our Medicaid program. There are plenty of workers in America.
U.S. farm owners say the deportation of migrant farm workers will impact their bottom line and lead to higher food prices. Crews in Central Texas continuing searching for nearly two dozen still missing following flash floods on Friday. At least 104 now confirmed dead across five counties. Amazon kicked off its annual Prime Day deals, the annual event stretching over 4 days. Other retailers also offering their own discounts this week. This is ABC News.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Experts are predicting a summer of low gas prices. Melissa Kay has more.
Average gas prices fell 4.5 cents over the last week for an average of $2.92 today. This is 3.5 cents lower than a month ago and 40 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Officials at GasBuddy say the downward momentum may continue. OPEC will boost production by a larger than expected amount per day in August, and that will add further pressure to oil prices as supply builds. If tensions in the Middle East remain contained and we don't see any major hurricanes in the Gulf, the national average could dip below $3 per gallon later this summer.
In Green Bay, the average price for a gallon of gas fell almost 7 cents to $2.87 a gallon this week. In Appleton and Oshkosh, the average is $2.85 a gallon. The Independence Day holiday weekend brought more than a cookout and fireworks to the Fox Valley. Someone is $2 million richer. A winning $2 million Powerball ticket was sold at the Festival Foods on Van Roy Road in Appleton for the July 5th drawing. It matched all five numbers, but not the Powerball. With the Power Play feature, the $1 million prize becomes $2 million. The winner has 180 days from the date of the drawing to claim their winnings. There have been $2 million Powerball prizes won in Wisconsin so far this year. Interestingly enough, both were sold at Festival Foods locations. A 19-year-old Fond du Lac man is in custody on suspicion of first-degree intentional homicide after a man was found stabbed to death in his vehicle on East Irving Avenue Saturday evening in Oshkosh. Police investigations show a physical altercation began in Menominee Park between several individuals. No other details have been released. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
A big win for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers dominated the Dodgers in Milwaukee last night, 9-1. Six scoreless innings pitched by Freddy Peralta. The bullpen held up. Home runs by Christian Yelich. And newcomer, first baseman Andrew Vaughn, manager Pat Murphy.
That's how we have to play. We have to take our walks when they're there. We have to run the bases, play defense, take your walks, then you get a knock, and then you get another knock. And then once in a while, you pop one. That's who we have to be.
The Dodgers have now lost four in a row. On Friday, they lost at home to the Astros 18-1. We spoke to Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
We got to pitch better. We got to defend better. We got to take more competitive at bats. We're just not doing any of those things right now. So, yeah, you look back 4 or 5 days ago, things look more positive, but this is a time for us to kind of look at ourselves and be better.
Game two tonight, Clayton Kershaw on the mound for LA against the Brewers rookie, the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy today with high temperatures flirting with 80 degrees. We've also got a chance of showers and thunderstorms sparking up this afternoon as a cold front pushes through. They aren't expected to be severe and they'll wind down by midnight, leaving us tomorrow with plenty of sunshine and highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, sure, you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Lindsay Owens joins me at 5 o'clock to talk about the impacts of the big, brutal bill on your pocketbook, as well as Donald Trump's renewed train war. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh here, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is Tuesday, July 8th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody. 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock from the world headquarters in downtown Madison on State Street. Overcast skies, a little cloudy here and there. Might be some rain in parts of Wisconsin, but, you know, seasonal weather this time of year, not too bad at all. Was across town a little earlier this morning. Mom in town, getting some work done in the car. And then I, Aaron Zommers, got my oil changed in the old Dodge Ram because got to get on the road tomorrow going up to beautiful Chippewa Falls area for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. We're going to be broadcasting live our program on Thursday and Friday of this week. Our friend, ongoing contributor, and colleague, Mr. Patrick J. Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, every morning from 6 until 9 over many of these stations, will be our guest co-host as well. Cannot wait to have Pat on the show. We have confirmed Rusty Volk, the fair director. Excellent. He is going to be on the show as well. We have more local author, Ken Szymanski, who's been on the show before. He's going to be on the show. I believe BJ Hollers, documentarian, who has a new documentary on Coob. We're going to have the...
Really? Because yes. I know he had one on one of the campuses.
Yes, a national director of the Coob National Championship. Here's my goal for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair this year, Zommers. I want to have a kid on from the small animal barn. I'll take a rooster. I'll take a chicken. I'll take a rabbit. Anything in a small animal, I'm looking for, because that's, you know, kids with live animals on a live radio program, what could possibly go wrong? And that's when hilarity and entertainment ensues.
Oh, absolutely. Next thing you know, you got a rabbit trying to eat the microphone.
That's right. That's exactly what we're looking for. And of course, we'll have great fair food up there as well. By the way, you don't have great fair food. That's what you want. Not great food, not bad. You want fair food at a fair.
So, indeed you do.
Looking forward. Should be a really, really good time. So join us on Thursday and Friday this week live from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Tony, watching on YouTube, says, my goal for the Northern Wisconsin Fair, to remember some of it.
A noble goal, Tony.
Tony's taking part in the beverage stands, apparently, up at the Northern Wisconsin State
Fair.
He just
has to taste test every single one.
Right, exactly. It'll be a great time. So join us a little bit later this week for coverage of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Coming up later on in this half hour, Tom Kircher of Wisconsin Watch will be in talking about some of the big stories they're covering at Wisconsin Watch. Also, a little bit more on the state budget that passed last week and Governor Evers signed into law. In hour number two, another edition of What's Worse, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired, Zommers?
Yes. Yes, I am.
We'll talk about that in What's Worse edition. Sore or sick?
What's worse? We'll ask you that question. And also in hour number two, big Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling today on JCRAR. I love that acronym, by the way. Basically, this is a ruling by the Wisconsin State Supreme Court that says, hey, as it turns out, a handful of legislators on one committee cannot overrule the actions of the majority of the legislature and the governor. And Amy Berrio is going to be here. She's been on the program before from Clean Wisconsin, and she's going to tell us how this relates to PFAS rulings here in the state of Wisconsin. So that will be very interesting, and looking forward to having Amy Berrio here on the program in hour number two, and of course, your phone calls as well. But first, I wanted to get to this. Did not have time yesterday. Busy, busy day, and lots of great guests, so that was fun. And I started talking about this yesterday. Then I said, look, this is not just a one-way street here. Todd doesn't just get on the microphone and blather for a couple of hours and go home. I actually consider what all of you say and text in, and your listenership, your viewership on the streams is important to me. And one of the great things about this show is that I hear different perspectives and I think about them. And I know last week when I was talking about the 4th of July, and I do love the 4th of July, Independence Day, always have. And some people said, Todd, I don't feel like celebrating. I don't feel like putting on red, white, and blue because our country is in, you know, a mess. In many people's opinions right now, when from human rights to other things. And I said, look, I get it as much as I can. I mean, I happen to be gay, so I get it. Under this administration, my rights to a degree are under scrutiny and under threat right now with this administration. Certainly, I would argue it could be as bad, if not worse, for people who happen to be black or brown in this country. So as much as I can, I try to appreciate that. But I said, what I believe is that the American dream lives in each of our hearts. And I still actually do believe that. And that we can't lose hope. I spent part of my weekend, my 4th of July weekend, on Saturday. A couple of dear friends of mine. One happened to immigrate to this country from El Salvador many years ago. Over 30 years ago now. And she has been an American, full-born American citizen for what? I don't know, 20-ish years plus, something like that. Full-born American citizen, legal citizen, naturalized citizen of the United States. Taught for many years, helped countless kids and parents, active part of her community. Everybody loves her. And she said she happened to be listening, I'm not sure exactly where, but God Bless the USA, the big Lee Greenwood song that I used to really like, by the way, until it became a anthem for MAGA and for Trump. But she said it wasn't like in her quote unquote playlist, but it just came on. It came on and she heard this song. And she said, Todd, I heard the line, I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And she said, I kind of lost it. Just sitting there by myself. I just started crying. And she said, because you know what, Todd? For the first time in my life as an American, I don't feel free. She said, when I go to Walmart or I go out, I'm thinking, you know, if ICE shows up in my town where I'm at, and does a raid, I'm a brown person. I could very easily get arrested or detained. Hopefully, they would believe me that I'm an American citizen. I'd be able to prove that. But she said, I don't feel free anymore. Another individual I know through friends, tangentially, had a birthday this weekend. He is from Venezuela. He has a green card. He is here legally. Had a birthday, posted a picture on Insta with a cake. And he said, my only wish this year on my birthday is that I don't get deported. that is where we are in the year 2025 in the United States of America. And I pass that on, hopefully to give everybody a little food for thought, a little reflection like I did this weekend. I actually, like I said this yesterday, I stayed home on the 4th of July, not necessarily intentionally, but I guess I was a little bit of a funk. I was tired anyway, but I spent the 4th of July contemplating a lot of things. And then I heard this story from my friend on Saturday. And so I wanted to pass it on to each and every one of you for what it's worth to maybe stop and think. And I think the danger right now in this country isn't necessarily all policy, although that's a lot of it. It is the rhetoric that is coming from President Trump through elected officials. And this rhetoric is dehumanizing our fellow Americans. It is dehumanizing people who are here legally. It is dehumanizing people who might be undocumented. It's dehumanizing brown kids that are your kids' best friend and teammates on football, on soccer, in forensics, in marching band. And they come over to your house and they have supper with you, and you have no idea that they were brought here when they were 2 years old and they're dreamers. You have no clue. And they're scared out of their minds. The psychological warfare that is being perpetrated on fellow Americans. And it's extraordinarily dangerous. And it's sad. It's really sad. Zomers, we don't have time for the first clip, right? The regular. So we'll come. Well, let's play the first or the other clip, because there's a lot of talk. Look, I got a lot of good friends who are Catholic, by the way. We're like Catholics. We're everywhere, right? A lot of my good friends are Catholic. Been to a lot of masses over the years. I think it's good. The Pope Leo, by the way, from Chicago, right? White Sox fan. We won't hold that against him. He has spoken out about this dehumanization, this rhetoric right now in America. Here is one of the Catholic archbishops. And God bless the Catholic Church, at least some of them, for speaking out against this. Here is what a Catholic archbishop had to say over the weekend about this dehumanization of the Trump policies on immigration.
It's right to be able to control our borders. However, what's going on now is something far beyond that. It is a mass indiscriminate deportation of men and women and children of families, which literally rips families apart and is intended to do so. And the mechanism by which it's doing it is the creation of fear, deep, profound fear within the community of about 10 million. This is simply not only incompatible with Catholic teaching, it's inhumane and it's morally repugnant.
Morally repugnant. Zomers, I don't have the clip in front of me. Do you have the archbishop's name by chance?
Cardinal McElroy, it says.
Cardinal McElroy. God bless Cardinal McElroy for having the chutzpah to speak out. And the cardinal is 100% right. It's the fear. It's about the fear. Because if you're afraid to go out in your community, even though you're a full-bird naturalized citizen of the United States, if you're afraid to participate, guess what's next? You're afraid to vote. People have called into this program and texted when I've said things like, well, assuming there are elections in 2026 and 2028, people say, oh, Todd, you're over the top. I'm not necessarily saying that it's going to be full-out canceled elections. This is the example of how they steal elections. It's putting the fear of God, which is not God at all, is putting fear into people so that people who are full-bird, entitled United States citizens are afraid to go to the polls, just like you have people following the laws, quote-unquote, doing it the right way, going to their immigration appointments, and then getting rounded up by, as our friend Matt Flynn says, the Trump brown shirts and deported to another country. Those same people, American citizens, will be afraid to go to the polls. That is how you attempt to steal an election. And we cannot allow it. Going to come back. I'll explain why I used to be a Republican after this.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor. Hey, it's John Mino.
And I'm Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Join us weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on WGBW and WISS, now brought to you by Pickle and Bags.
For your next group outing, visit pickleandbags.com.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The website climate.gov is no more. The site that served as a trusted resource for federal research on climate change has been officially shut down a month after its staff was fired by the Trump administration. When it was online, climate.gov received hundreds of thousands of visitors every month. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says climate information will be housed elsewhere on its website. $16 million in state funding could soon be on the way to help farmers improve water quality in rural Wisconsin. The Joint Committee on Finance recently committed the funding for a host of environmentally-minded farm programs after months of work from Clean Wisconsin and its partners. The funding still needs to be passed by the full legislature and signed into law by Governor Evers. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tallable Show across the state of Wisconsin, from Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, Green Bay to the old mists, and everywhere in between. Glad to have you along here on a Tuesday. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, Tom Kircher of Wisconsin Watch will be in, taking a look at Wisconsin headlines. Glad to have you along. 22 past the hour of 2 with Zomers on the board. Talking a little bit about immigration, but more importantly, where we are at as a country. After reflections, I didn't get to this yesterday on the 4th of July weekend. I just had a chance to think about this. Talk to a very close, dear, she's family, actually. Been a U.S. citizen well over 20 years. Been in the country 30. Saying she heard the phrase this weekend from Lee Greenwood's song, God Bless the USA, the line, I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I am free. And she said for the first time in being in the United States for 30 years, she does not feel free. Even though she's a full bird, legal U.S. citizen. And again, this is the way that authoritarianism attempts to steal elections. Not necessarily by gunpoint. It's about putting the fear into people so that they're afraid to go to the polls. And now with this new federal budget, upping ICE's budget like 5 times. And some of these guys, I won't even get into this right now. Some of these, they're not actual cops. They're not law enforcement. They're basically white dudes who cannot get a job anywhere else. And so they want to be, you know, volunteer posse comitatus glorified ICE people. And the rhetoric that is being used from Trump and MAGA leaders puts fear into people. I want to play you something. I get this is a little long. I get it. But please, please listen to this entire thing. It's 4 minutes. And we've played cuts of this before. I want to play the entire thing because it's really important. And I get it. When I bring up the word, the person, Ronald Reagan, a lot of people, and look, I've reflected. I've said that trickle-down economics doesn't work. Reagan was not perfect. I'm not here to glorify Ronald Reagan. Put your personal feelings aside just for a minute politically and listen to Ronald Reagan. This is the sitting president of the United States in the White House back when he left in 1989 on immigration.
And since this is the last speech that I will give as president, I think it's fitting to leave one final thought, an observation about a country which I love. It was stated best in a letter I received not long ago. A man wrote me and said, "You can go to live in France, but you cannot become a Frenchman. You can go to live in Germany or Turkey or Japan, but you cannot become a German, a Turk, or Japanese. But anyone from any corner of the earth can come to live in America and become an American." Yes, the torch of Lady Liberty symbolizes our freedom and represents our heritage, the compact with our parents, our grandparents, and our ancestors. It is that lady who gives us our great and special place in the world. For it's the great life force of each generation of new Americans that guarantees that America's triumph shall continue unsurpassed into the next century and beyond. Other countries may seek to compete with us, but in one vital area, as a beacon of freedom and opportunity that draws the people of the world, no country on earth comes close. This, I believe, is one of the most important sources of America's greatness. We lead the world because, unique among nations, we draw our people, our strength, from every country and every corner of the world. And by doing so, we continuously renew and enrich our nation. While other countries cling to the stale past, here in America, we breathe life into dreams, we create the future, and the world follows us into tomorrow. Thanks to each wave of new arrivals to this land of opportunity, we're a nation forever young, forever bursting with energy and new ideas, and always on the cutting edge, always leading the world to the next frontier. This quality is vital to our future as a nation. If we ever close the door to new Americans, our leadership in the world would soon be lost. A number of years ago, an American student traveling in Europe took an East German ship across the Baltic Sea. One of the ship's crew members from East Germany, a man in his 60s, struck up a conversation with the American student. After a while, the student asked the man how he had learned such good English, and the man explained that he had once lived in America. He said that for over a year he'd worked as a farmer in Oklahoma and California, that he'd planted tomatoes and picked ripe melons. It was, the man said, the happiest time of his life. Well, the student, who'd seen the awful conditions behind the Iron Curtain, blurted out the question, "Well, why did you ever leave?" "I had to," he said. "The war ended." The man had been in America as a German prisoner of war. Now, I don't tell this story to make the case for former POWs. Instead, I tell this story just to remind you of the magical, intoxicating power of America. We may sometimes forget it, but others do not. Even a man from a country at war with the United States, while held here as a prisoner, could fall in love with us. Those who become American citizens love this country even more. And that's why the Statue of Liberty lifts her lamp to welcome them to the Golden Door. It is bold men and women yearning for freedom and opportunity who leave their homelands and come to a new country to start their lives over. They believe in the American dream, and over they make it come true for themselves, for their children, and for others. They give more than they receive, they labor and succeed, and often they are entrepreneurs. But their greatest contribution is more than economic, because they understand in a special way how glorious it is to be an American. They renew our pride and gratitude in the United States of America, the greatest, freest nation in the world, the last best hope of man on earth.
Former President Ronald Wilson Reagan. That's what the Republican Party used to stand for. Reagan was right. American immigrants make our country stronger, and they are what make us have hope for the future. Back with Tom Kircher after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The big, beautiful bill may have been signed into law, but there's still uncertainty about research dollars and where funding will be coming from. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. And that's got many projects up in the air on the UW-Madison campus. Last month, UW Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin sent out communications to all faculty and staff warning that the campus faced immense financial uncertainty and risks. She says UW-Madison has seen more than 90 awards or sub-awards facing a stop work order or termination since January. College of Ag and Life Sciences Associate Dean for Research Troy Runge says they heard that message loud and clear.
Any research that was deemed to be against executive orders, we got messages that they either need to be reviewed further or they were stopped. You know, it varied. What, you know, international was an area. There was some research dealing with what we would say, I would call resilience for our agricultural systems, but there are language in there around climate change. And so those are some examples.
Troy Runge with UW-Madison's College of Ag and Life Sciences. He's their associate dean for research. He said in the same communication from Chancellor Mnookin, schools and colleges were directed to reduce their base budgets by 5% for fiscal year 2025-2026. He says right now, Dean Glenda Gillespie with the College of Ag and Life Sciences is spearheading those discussions and trying to find a way.
Hey, gut yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And heat helped improve Wisconsin's confidence in their crop. The latest update shows across the state, 75% of our soybeans are in good to excellent conditions, 2% increase, and 77% of our corn rated good to excellent, also up 2 percentage points this week. That's just a quick update on food and fiber news for a Tuesday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly cloudy today with high temperatures flirting with 80 degrees. We've also got a chance of showers and thunderstorms sparking up this afternoon as a cold front pushes through. They aren't expected to be severe and they'll wind down by midnight, leaving us tomorrow with plenty of sunshine and highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Mark your calendars and head to Marinette on July 12th for the 13th annual Logging and Heritage Festival. Located on historic Stevenson Island, there will be free kids' activities, food trucks, BMX stunt bike, live music, logging exhibitions, fireworks, and much more. The island opens at noon and the fun doesn't stop until the fireworks are over. It's the Marinette Logging and Heritage Festival on July 13th on Stevenson Island in Marinette. Don't miss it!
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had some, I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Wednesday's show, we'll chat with Jeff Larson from the Green Bay Sail and Paddle, and Christine Schutze is in from the New Zoological Society with details on their Feast with the Beasts event.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 now past the hour of 2 o'clock on a Tuesday, July the 8th. Glad to have you along here on a nice afternoon across the state of Wisconsin. Always great to have our next guest because too often in the world today, you got all kinds of people in news silos hearing only and listening to only things they want to hear and not getting down to the truth of the matter. Always a great to have Tom Kircher here from Wisconsin Watch. You can find all of his stories and so many others at Wisconsin, spelled out WisconsinWatch.org. That's WisconsinWatch.org. Tom, how the heck you been?
Hey, I'm good. Todd, thanks for having me back again. I appreciate it. Thanks for the attention to Wisconsin Watch.
Yeah, our pleasure. First of all, before we get into the news, it was the holiday weekend. Did the Kirchers, did you have a big barbecue? Did you go anywhere? Just chill out in the air conditioning?
You know, it was a mix of things, including sort of the traditional stuff. But actually, I spent part of it working on something. I don't want to go all 1965 on you, but I've been asked to give a... I've been asked to give a banquet speech.
Really?
That sounds like something from, you know, many decades ago.
No, I've given banquet speeches. They're great. Rotarians, Lions, whatever it is, right?
Yeah, it's a private event actually in Madison. And I've done speaking things on 5 or 10 minutes at a time, but this one is much lengthier, and I'll be talking about my career as a journalist. So it's been kind of a fun exercise to go back over the years and pick out different highlights.
That's fantastic.
And some lowlights.
Yeah. Hey, we all you haven't lived if you got all highlights in your reel, right?
I mean, it started off, I guess, to show a level of humility. I was so gung-ho about journalism coming out of high school that the summer before I started at UW-Madison, I actually sent to the Badger Herald student newspaper and the Daily Cardinal student newspaper a cover letter, my resume, and my high school graduation photo.
Really?
Thinking that it was going to be so difficult to get a job at either paper, right? Well, I found out later that the guys at the Badger Herald, women too, took that high school graduation photo of mine in the office, put it up on a bulletin board, and threw darts at it all summer long before I started school. Totally deserving, I think. But it all worked out. I ended up joining the Badger Herald and eventually became the editor in chief. So, you know, you can have inauspicious beginnings and things still work out.
You've done okay for yourself, Tom Kircher. I'll say that for sure. Well, this is great. Yeah, again, absolutely. My pleasure. I've talked to somebody this morning, actually. We said, you know, that there's so much out there. It's hard to just wade through all this. You have a new piece, Tom Kircher, at WisconsinWatch.org called Here Are Six Claims About Donald Trump's Big Bill and the Facts. No, it's not the biggest spending cut in history. Yes, it will add trillions to the national debt. So this is fantastic. Take us through this great piece, please.
Yeah, well, thank you. So again, what we try to do at Wisconsin Watch is zero in on statements, a claim, somebody's claiming something is true. We pose that as a question, and then we answer the question yes or no in 150 word stories. So they're meant to be, you know, quick bites, but they are pretty heavily researched. Mm-hmm. So in this case, a lot of the people in the Wisconsin delegation and others were making comments about the big, beautiful bill itself that we thought were should be fact-checked, or they were commenting about the bill, and then they made statements about, let's say, Medicaid or food stamps that caught our attention. And so we picked out six of those and wrote fact briefs on each one.
All right, here we go. Number one.
Yeah. So Scott Fitzgerald, who's a congressman here in the Milwaukee area, suburban Milwaukee.
Better known as Fitz to his friends. Fitz. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And I should preface this by saying, like most legislation, right, these are moving targets. So
yeah.
The bill might say one thing on one day and it could change a few days later. At Wisconsin Watch, we fact-check statements based on the facts available at the time. So, right. You know, things could change after the fact.
What was true on the day they said it? Go ahead.
Exactly right. And so his claim was that, hey, the big, beautiful bill is the largest federal spending cut ever in U.S. history. And he used a figure of $1.7 trillion in spending cuts over 10 years. It's not true. What we found is that
turns out even not if, true. Fitz is wrong.
Yeah, even if the $1.7 trillion were true, it would only be the second largest spending cut. There was a $2 trillion cut back in 2011. But more importantly, what he was ignoring there is, while the big, beautiful bill does cut spending quite a bit in some areas, it increases spending in other areas. So if you look at the net, the actual spending cuts from the big, beautiful bill, when Fitzgerald made his statement, the cuts were about $1.2 trillion over 10 years. So nothing to sneeze at, certainly, but not as much as what he said.
Number one, Fitz was wrong on his claims about the federal spending. All right, number two.
Yeah. And so here's an example of where an elected official is talking about the bill and then makes kind of a tangential statement. In this case, Congressman Tom Tiffany, who represents most of northern Wisconsin, he was talking about the big, beautiful bill, and he was making the statement that there are a lot of, as he put it, able-bodied people who are on Medicaid, who are draining Medicaid, as he put it.
And we've heard this as a former Republican. We've heard this for a long time, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he was correct in that we did find that, in fact, millions of people have been added to Medicaid since Obamacare took effect. It increased the income eligibility. And in fact, many millions more people now are on Medicaid than there used to be. And these are non-elderly, non-disabled people. Sort of the rest of the story in this one, even though his statistic is accurate, is that a lot of those working age adults who are on Medicaid are working. So the survey we looked at by KFF, which is a nonprofit policy organization, they found that 44% of the working age adults who are on Medicaid work full time, and another 20% work part time. So it's not as if all able-bodied people, as he said, who are on Medicaid are not working.
I'm just laughing because I'm going to talk about Tom Tiffany in our next segment, by the way, after you leave. So here's Congressman Tiffany. Yes, Congressman, more people are on Medicaid, but he forgets to tell us that, well, actually, most of these people are actually already working, which seems to be an important detail you might want to disclose.
I think a reasonable policy debate on that, right? How many people should be eligible? Should they be required to work? Should they be required to look for work if they're not employed? That sort of thing. But yeah, it's important to understand if we're going to talk about how many more working age adults are on Medicaid, it's important to know how many are working.
And also important, in case you didn't hear Tom correctly, the Nonpartisan Health Policy Organization is KFF, not KFC, which is very different. All right, go ahead. Next one.
Right. Correct. So this next question has to do with unauthorized immigrants, undocumented immigrants.
We were just talking about this. Eligible, go ahead. All right.
Whether they're eligible for Medicaid. And this came up Congressman Mark Pocan, who represents the Madison area, of course, was saying that, hey, a lot of Trump administration officials are claiming, when they're talking about the big, beautiful bill, these officials are claiming that unauthorized immigrants are eligible for Medicaid. They're not. So they never have been eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid. If there's a wrinkle here, it's that there are 14 states, not including Wisconsin, there are 14 states that use their own state Medicaid money to provide health coverage for unauthorized immigrants. So there is a form of Medicaid, if you will, that some states provide. But in terms of the traditional federally funded Medicaid program that people are most familiar with, undocumented immigrants are not eligible.
So as it turns out, Congressman Mark Pocan from Madison, Democrat, is correct that there is no federal Medicaid direct dollars for unauthorized immigrants, and the Republicans and the Trump folks That's right. that were saying that just flat out wrong. All right, very good. Next one.
So this came up actually during the Wisconsin Democratic Party convention. One of the guest speakers, Senator Raphael Warnock of Georgia, was talking again about the big, beautiful bill, and he referenced SNAP, or what used to be called food stamps. And he made this statement during his speech that there's a county in Wisconsin where about half of the residents receive SNAP benefits, food stamps. And that caught my attention, that percentage seemed high. Mm-hmm. But he was correct. It's in actually Menominee County, according to the latest of figures that are available. About 46% of the residents in that county do receive SNAP benefits. And I think one reason we wanted to pursue this one was just, first of all, see whether it was accurate. But I think it was maybe also surprising to some people that if you said, hey, there's one county in Wisconsin where half the people get food stamps, some people might have guessed it was Milwaukee County or an urban county, when in fact, it's a rural county.
This is fantastic because U.S. Senator and the Reverend Raphael Warnock was in Wisconsin, and so his claim that one rural Wisconsin county receives half the residents receive food stamps turns out true. We're talking with Tom Kircher from Wisconsin Watch. You can find all these stories and more at wisconsinwatch.org. I also like saying the Reverend Raphael Warnock. Remember back in the Rush Limbaugh days, he talked about Jesse Jackson. He'd say, the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Just the way he said it was entertaining. Not to glorify Rush Limbaugh, but I'm just saying sometimes it's entertaining.
I do remember that.
Yeah. All right, next one, yeah. Tom Kircher. Here we go.
So there were a number of people saying, criticizing the big, beautiful bill because it would add trillions of dollars to the national debt. And we had, the full spectrum here, people on the left, Congresswoman Gwen Moore from Milwaukee, people on the right, Senator Ron Johnson, saying that they were criticizing this bill as it was moving through Congress, saying, hey, this is going to add way too much in debt over the years. And they were correct. They were different figures were put out there, but conservatively at the time when we looked at this, the nonpartisan estimates showed that this bill would add $2 trillion to the debt over 10 years. As it made its way to final approval, that estimate actually increased, and now it's expected to add $3.3 trillion to the debt over 10 years.
So it's even worse than originally billed. But is it people, they don't agree on much very often, but Democratic Congressman Gwen Moore and Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson both claim the bill would add trillions. The difference, of course, Tom, is that Congressman Moore voted against this, but Ron Johnson cashed in and said, well, I guess I'll still vote for it at the end.
Yeah, Johnson is, he, for a good period of time during the debate in Congress over the bill, was criticizing the bill, holding out against it. In particular, because of the debt, he has been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
And someone criticizing how much debt we have, it's about $36 trillion now. So if this bill plays out as projected.
We got one more on the 65% tax increase, but people can watch that. I know you got to go, but people can watch that. Read for themselves at wisconsinwatch.org.
That would be great.
Hey, Tom Kircher, I appreciate your time. As always, great facts. We will always appreciate when you bring it. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, Tom.
Come on back. I'll talk about Tom Tiffany. Give you the truth on that dude. It's Tommy Boy next on Civic Media.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases. From wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care, Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
If you've ever wanted to go to Comic-Con but couldn't afford it or it's just too far away, then maybe consider Kitsune-Con. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, brought to you by Area 509 in Appleton. And Kitsune-Con is coming July 11th through the 13th at the KI Convention Center. It's an event that's dedicated to bringing anime and gaming awesomeness to the Fox Valley and Green Bay area. Filled with voice actors, classic gaming, foam sword fighting, and a manga cafe, this is a nerd's paradise. Head to WISS.FM and click events to find out more.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New Mexico rolled out its automatic voter registration system July 1st, allowing citizens to conveniently register to vote or change residency information while at the DMV. Across the country, New Hampshire's legislature may burden its elderly and disabled absentee voters by requiring copies of ID when voting by mail and citizenship papers when registering by mail. New Mexico passed a sweeping voting rights bill, HB 4, in 2023. Among its provisions was automatically registering citizens to vote at the motor vehicle division, previously only an option. AVR has been successful in other states in registering younger voters and may expand registrations of the state's native voters as well. Local election officials will send newly registered voters their voting districts and precincts and how to opt out if they choose. New Hampshire, despite having next to no fraud, abuse, or non-citizen voting, has gone the other direction. Legislators sent bills to Governor Kelly Ayotte mandating proof of citizenship be sent with absentee registrations and that absentee voters must include copies of an approved ID or have their signature notarized. Such onerous rules adversely affect seniors and disabled voters who may not be able to make copies, and younger voters and college students who may not have ready access to those documents. Voter fraud and non-citizen voting are extremely rare, and such rules serve to keep more eligible voters from voting than ineligible ones. I'm Brian Beal.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
One, two.
Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. Zommers on the board. Always got the great tunes. All ball behind the mic. Glad to have you along. Fans of Wisconsin's one of our favorite sons, Chris Farley, his big breakout movie, Tommy Boy, right, Zommers?
Yep, that is the tune Silver Naked Ladies by Paul Westerberg, featured in the movie Tommy Boy.
Absolutely fantastic. We're here to talk about another Tommy Boy. As I said right before we went to break here.
Maybe one Wisconsin loves a little less.
A little less, I think that's fair to say. Congressman Tom Tiffany. Tom Breakfast at Tiffany's. Now, here's a guy. When I was working at the Capitol for former State Senator Dale Schultz, Tom Tiffany was just a newer state senator. And he was one of these guys where even like in Republican closed-door rooms, people would say, well, Tiffany's going to do that. And they just mentioned the word Tiffany, and other Republicans would just roll their eyes like, oh, geez, not Tom. Because the guy's a little off. All right. He's kind of mousy. He's kind of meek. He doesn't really have all his facts. It was not thought of highly by his but hey, give him credit. Somehow he got himself elected to Congress. More than I could do. I couldn't even get myself elected to the assembly. So now he's Congressman Tom Tiffany, and he has aspirations of running for governor in 2026. So Representative Tom Breakfast at Tiffany's put out a tweet last night. And he put a letter, he's very good at this, he copied and pasted his letter on official congressional letterhead to Canada. He wrote to Canada, to the Honorable Kristen Hillman, Ambassador of Canada. And he has a beef with Canada. He says in his tweet, quote, "The upper Midwest has suffered with repeated waves of smoke due to Canadian wildfires. Today, I join my colleagues from Wisconsin and Minnesota to demand better forest management in Canada. Our communities shouldn't suffer because of poor decisions made across the border," unquote. From Representative Tom Breakfast at Tiffany's. To quote Khan in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, "You are in the position to demand nothing. I, on the other hand, am in the position to grant nothing." What is he doing demanding things of Canada? What's really rich about Congressman Tiffany writing this letter, being all indignant about wildfire smoke coming from Canada, by the way, caused in large part by climate change and global warming. I'm old enough to remember working in the state capitol when Tiffany was a state senator. And there was a guy in Senator Schultz's office that worked with me, a native of Reedsburg, Wisconsin, Joe Hassler Jr., a very proud graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison J School, an expert journalist. And he did most of the work, I helped a little bit, to suss out the facts on a bill then State Senator Tom Tiffany wrote to gut environmental laws protecting lands in northern Wisconsin in order to fulfill former Governor Scott Walker's promise of new mining to bring thousands of jobs in northern Wisconsin. And by the way, part of this land, in talking to Native American leaders in this part of the state, there's sacred rice beds, rice fields, which in the Native American culture are like our temples or synagogues or churches. And this bill that came into law that Tiffany helped author gutted the protections of these Native American areas, not to mention the groundwater for farmers, other things up there. And Tiffany was fine with it because it was going to be a job creator. And Walker, remember that State of the State address where it looked like the village people behind Scott Walker, where they had hard hats on. They're just missing a headdress, quite frankly. So Walker got his village people behind him and promised thousands of jobs for northern Wisconsin. Let's do a fact check. How many jobs did Tom Tiffany and Scott Walker create in northern Wisconsin after raping the land? I don't know. The number zero comes to mind. But the law change still lasts. My former boss, Dale Schultz, because Republicans had a one-seat majority, he stopped it for a while. And then the term was coined, we have to Schultz-proof the Senate. In other words, Schultz can't be the deciding vote, and that's why they started doing these recalls, and the Senate got more, Republicans got more than one vote majority, and it went through. By the way, after this happened, guess who came calling to buy some of that land? The Chinese business people who wanted to even buy this land to mine it. Let's check in on the environmental conditions in China right now. Not good, as it turns out. But, I mean, the Chinese business people, they're real stewards of the land, right? So, yeah, to quote Trevor Noah, Tom Tiffany, "Miss me with your false indignation toward our neighbors to the north and quit trying to score quick political points. Because there's some of us around to tell the story of the real Tommy boy, Tom Tiffany, better known as Toxic Tommy, to make sure that, yes, Tom, you never see the family quarters of the executive residence in Maple Bluff." I can't imagine. They get so proud of themselves. They hatch these things, and you know, the goose stepping 25-year-old boys in their offices who think like this. Oh, we're really gonna get them. We're gonna write this. It's just ridiculous. And it's completely disingenuous. Tom Tiffany doesn't give two rips about the environment in Wisconsin. Because I was there when he wrote the legislation to screw northern Wisconsin over. This letter about wildfire smoke in northern Wisconsin, and again, blaming Canadians. What have Canadians ever done to Tom Tiffany? All right, come on back. What's worse is next. A sick and tired edition. Don't miss it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Uncertainty over tariffs after President Trump sent letters out to more than a dozen countries, extending this week's reciprocal tariff deadline to August 1st. The president suggesting at a cabinet meeting the letter signals the end of talks, not the beginning.
A letter means a deal. You know, a lot of people said, we got 200 countries. We can't meet with 200 countries. We have a few trusted people that know what they're doing, that are doing a good job, but you can't do it. You have to do it in a more general way, but it's a very good way.
The president also says he plans to impose a 50% tariff on copper. In Texas, the death toll has now risen to 108 following the July 4th flash floods along the Guadalupe River. Crews are still searching for at least 20 that are missing. Sentencing for Sean Diddy Combs now set for October 3rd, a judge announcing that date at a post-conviction hearing. The music mogul was found guilty last week of prostitution-related charges. Defense attorneys dropped calls to expedite sentencing. This is ABC News.